happening would be when the toothed sucker stripped circles of skin and bloody flesh from his face or throat. JB was aware that if the plan worked, and they succeeded in igniting a fireball of crudely refined gasoline, it would quickly bring in every sticky for miles. He quickly slung the warm rifle across his shoulder, crouching, ready to move. Wolfram was jigging from foot to foot, like a child desperate to go to the John. Sweat beaded his pallid face, and his tiny eyes flicked nervously from side to side, settling on the skeletal figure of the Magus, standing motionless a few paces from him.
Well?
What?
Stop him!
You got a magic wand, Gert?
Oh, you're the warlock, fucking Magus. Do something to stop him!
Dix is stuck in the woods. Calder is pinned down by the wag. Time's on our side, Gert.
The long, goat-like skull nodded slowly, the eyes with their sheen of cold pewter turning blankly toward him.
Then we're gonna win?
I would think. Probably. Yes, probably.
As soon as the shooting stopped, Ryan drew the Sig Sauer and readied himself for the next phase of the plan.
Where is the driver of the wag?
Pierre.
Name?
Nehru.
You got the keys?
There was a long pause, and Ryan tensed himself. The driver was hiding with the half-dozen sec men only a few yards off, around the other side of the small building that held the gasoline, on the opposite flank of the silent wag.
I asked where the keys are.
Oh, Dan Wag.
It was time to move.
Then go and get them!
To the cowering sec men, the sudden appearance of Ryan Cotter, out of the flickering semi-darkness, was like a demon from the fiery heart of nightmares. Ryan stood, his legs slightly parted, holding the automatic in both hands in front of him at chest height. He sighted along the barrel at point-blank range. The full metal jacket rounds ripped into the scared sec men. Ryan still had four rounds left in the weapon, and all the sec men and the unlucky driver were dead or dying. Ryan spun on his heel, stooping inside the little gas hut. Reaching with his left hand, he opened up the faucet on the bottom of the tank. Then he backed away as gasoline quickly spread over the floor.
So far, so good. Yeah. So fucking far, so fucking good.
Jack was kneeling by the door to the prison hut that he shared with Doc. He was working intently on the lock, using the blade of one of his throwing knives to try to pick it. Though he'd been searched three separate times, the segment had failed to find all of his concealed blades. Doc was standing by the shuttered barred windows.
Any good luck at all, my cunning locksmith? I feel that time is somewhat of the essence in this matter. Our fat friend Wolfram keeps looking over in our direction and calling some orders to the Magus, which I fear might relate to some plans involving us.
Probably. This son of a bitch won't open. What's happening outside?
I believe that our trusty colleagues have finally oped the seventh seal and loosed all of the apocalyptic forces of perdition, pestilence, and might.
The gasoline collected all around the steel tips of Ryan's combat boots, filling the night air with dense fumes. The faucet on the second tank had been stiff, difficult to turn, but he had finally levered it open. Both of the tanks were full, each holding what had to be close to 1,000 gallons of gas. Away near the main buildings, Ryan glimpsed the contrasting silhouettes of the Magus and Wolfram, scurrying out of sight into their own quarters. With the gas flooding all around him, it was time to move on. Ryan crouched low and ducked into the cab of the parked wag, seeing the keys swinging gently back and forth in the ignition. At last, the segment in the towers decided it was time for them to get into the game. The shooting from the woods that had kept their heads down had stopped. Ryan crouched under the dashboard and kicked the gear shift into reverse. The cab door was open on his side, and he was easily able to correct the steering, aiming directly for the locked gates of the Big Fortress camp. The compound was nearly dark, and the chances of anyone actually hitting Ryan were remote. In the side view mirror, Ryan spotted a slightly built figure, loaded with weapons, coming sprinting from the forest. JB jumped under the wag's bed, his Uzi at the ready.
Let her go, Ryan!
The Magus had stopped on the porch of his long hut, staring silently back at what was happening by the gates. Despite the semi-darkness, his metal-sheathed eyes saw perfectly, making out the patch of the spreading lake of gas, almost black against the dirt. He knew what was going to happen. Wolfram was close by, in the doorway, jamming a polished, long-barreled revolver down the front of his pants.
Why don't they shoot him? Stop him!
I can't see him. Why, all the gods and demons, but they're good.
But we'll still win!
Oh, I don't believe we will, friend. No, I'm beginning to think that despite all, you and I are about to lose.
Lose? How can we fucking lose, you fool?
The tall, skinny man turned slowly on his heel, the silvery light from the last few lamps bouncing off the dull surface of his metal lenses.
Take care, Gert. Do take care with what you say.
I didn't... What are we gonna do now? Should we get away into the forest and run for it?
Don't you mean waddle for it? No, we will not run. Not yet. We shall go and reacquaint ourselves with our prisoners and find some way to make them useful. And if they can't be made useful, then they can always be made dead.
The gates are down, Christy. Did JB get aboard? Yeah, it only stopped a second and then came forward again.
The wag stopped close to the tangled bodies of the slaughtered Sekhmen at the side of the small block-built hut that held the gasoline.
What are they doing now?
Though Jack's sight in the bright noonday sunlight was weak, his vision in poor light was remarkably good. He shaded his eyes and peered from the shuttered window.
Brian's in the cab, and JB's on the back. Gasoline all over the place.
Doc sat on one of the narrow beds, holding his head in his hands.
Upon my soul, but I confess to being a deal less than well. What I believe was once called feeling blah back in the olden times.
Might have to move fast, Doc. Guess they could try and use us as hostages. That's the sort of trick Magus would think about.
Before God, but I am exceeding weary.
Don't slip away now, Doc. Doc!
Slipping and sliding away. A good day is one without pain, and a bad one... I disremember what a bad one was.
Doc!
Jack glanced over his shoulder, seeing that Wolfram and the Magus were standing in the doorway of their own quarters, looking toward the huts that held their prisoners.
But we that are left will grow old.
Wolfram and the Magus, accompanied by a half dozen of their well-trained and heavily armed Sekhmen, started to move across the open space of the main compound.
Doc!
Dr. Tanner, to you, my dear little crossing sweeper, ragamuffin, urchin... What?
Doc looked ruefully up at the teenager.
Wandering, was I?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't have no choice. You all right now?
I am in the very best of health.
Doc looked out the window.
And ready for anything.
Ready, JB?
For anything!
You got a self-light handy?
Sure!
A moment later, JB was crouched by the open door of the cab, the last few lights reflecting off the lenses of his glasses.
Can you take the rifle?
Any ammo left for it?
Nope. 6 hour reloaded.
Egg sucking time, Granny. Get that self-light ready.
Go like a bomb when it blows.
Let's blow it now. Won't be long before we get us some unwanted company. Not to mention a spark that could put us on the last train west.
You ready?
Ryan joined JB on the wet dirt.
Ready.
On three. One, and two, and three.
The armorer lobbed the weak flame into the center of the spreading lake of gas. Ryan ran after JB, who had a slight start on him. He stumbled and nearly went face down on the edge of the gasoline pool. With a desperate effort, he fought for his balance, recovering with a sideways stagger, running hard, not even bothering to try to jink. Bullets might kill him. The imminent explosion definitely would if he wasn't far enough away from it when the flames ignited the cloud of vapor and the whole two tanks went up. One factor that he'd taken into account with a sketchy and amended combat plan was the theory that the solid bulk of the armored wag should give them a vital measure of protection from the devastating blast. Ryan realized that he and JB had made a serious miscalculation on the quantity of gasoline in the tanks. Neither of them had suspected that the containers were much larger than they appeared, with most of their bulk buried beneath the earth, meaning that the explosion was infinitely more devastating than they'd expected. They stared back at the gigantic globe of orange, yellow, and crimson flames, streaked with flashes of silver, threaded with a web of spreading smoke that was soaring high into the night sky.
That'll bring all the stickies for miles.
Ryan tried to sit up, but he felt sick and dizzy, so he remained motionless for a moment, his fingers fumbling for his weapons, making sure nothing had gone missing. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see JB's crumpled figure feebly trying to struggle onto his hands and knees.